Hi, I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV. I am at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, and I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jeffrey Singer, Doctor for Liberty, as his email goes, I can personally attest. Dr. Singer, thank you for joining us. Jeff Singer wrote a great piece for Reason, one of the most remarked upon pieces that we've run this year, about doctors going galt, a process that's been happening over the last 30 or so years, but has been goosed a bit more with Obamacare. Tell us about this concept. What happened to doctors?
Well, over the past 30 to 40 years, government involvement in medicine has resulted in a progressive regimentation of medicine. And doctors are being forced to basically adjust their practices to comply with protocols and guidelines that are drawn up by regulators in Washington. They're being forced to try to describe what they do, both in order to get paid for what they do, and in order to comply with guidelines in the form of very complicated codes that have been, again, devised centrally. A lot of it actually aided and abetted by some of the professional organizations like the American Medical Association, which has a government-granted monopoly on the design of these codes. And so that over the past 30 or 40 years now, doctors have found that they're losing their autonomy. Many of them have been unable to afford to stay in practice, so they're selling their practices and becoming employees of hospitals or large corporate clinics. And they're being reduced to shift-working employees who are compelled to follow guidelines and protocols that tell them how to practice. And they spend a great deal of their time entering data into computers because they're also forced to do everything electronically, again, in compliance with templates drawn up by the regulators.
Now, let's say I go to you. You're what kind of surgeon are you?
I'm a general surgeon.
General surgeon. So I go and my gallbladders give me the dickens of a time, and you're going to diagnose me and hopefully take that damn thing out. Where does this come in the process? How does this go into your specific practice?
Well, my specific practice, I'd have to use preoperative preparation orders and do preoperative testing that complies with guidelines and protocols that are drawn up for me. And while you're in the hospital,
what happens if you don't do that?
Well, then I'm being monitored constantly. If I deviate from the guidelines, I have to document electronically in an electronic record my reason for deviating. And there are acceptable reasons, and there are others that aren't acceptable. After a certain amount of deviations, I stand out. Now, hospitals are being told that if they don't get 80% of compliance with these protocols and guidelines from their medical staff, they're going to be penalized by having to give back money to Medicare that they've already been paid for services that they've rendered. So the hospitals lean on the doctors to follow these guidelines. Of course, as more and more doctors are employees of hospitals, it's easier for them to lean on them because they just order them to follow the guidelines since they're their employees. If there's still those maybe 30 to 40% of doctors who are still independent private practitioners, they just get, you know, pleaded with by the hospitals to follow the guidelines. And, you know, most of us, we want to be team players, so we try when we can. As long as we agree with the guidelines, we try to do our best. Meanwhile, this atmosphere has basically destroyed the feeling of professionalism, and it's also created a lot of ethical dilemmas for us physicians because, for example, I take an oath to put the interests of my patient paramount ahead of everything else. In fact, my patient's interests come ahead of the interests of my patient's significant other or anything else. That's my obligation. But if I'm being compelled to practice according to guidelines and protocols, which are drawn up by ultimately the payer, which is in most cases Medicare, is the driver of this thing. So, and the reason the payer is drawing these up is because the payer is convinced that this will lead to a more cost-effective allocation of that payer's resources. Well then, ethically, I'm in a dilemma here because I'm being forced to practice with the interests of the payer coming ahead of the interests of my patient in many cases. Sometimes it'll coincide, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Now that's an ethical credo more fitting to a veterinarian, because when you're a veterinarian, of course, a person brings to you their dog. Your primary obligation is to the owner of the dog, not to your patient, the dog. So you'll tell the owner, you know, I could do this, I could do that. Which course would you like me to follow? I could do something palliative. I could even do some euthanasia, you tell me, because you're my client, you the owner. Well, but in human medicine, of course, there's no conflict between the there shouldn't be a conflict between the interests of the payer and the interests of the patient, because I take an oath only to be concerned about the interests of my patient. But if I'm being compelled to practice according to the interests of the payer, I'm actually being put in an ethical box here, an ethical bind here. These kind of issues are driving a lot of us experienced doctors who were planning to practice another 10 to 15 to 20 years to say, I didn't sign up for this, and we're looking for the exits.
And you are actually looking for the exit.
I'm looking for the exits. I haven't exited yet, but I have a plan.
At least you're writing about it and letting us, the rest of us know. And I've gotten feedback from other doctors saying he finally, you know, wrote about this thing that we're all experiencing. So thank you for that. Check out the article, Doctors Going Galt, at Reason.com. For Reason TV with Jeffrey Singer, I am Matt Welch.